The following programming is sponsored by Amendment 16 Limited. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to episode 166 of the Pennsylvania Project. As you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, our vision is a better Pennsylvania. To achieve that vision, our mission is to boldly showcase the political, cultural, and environmental challenges facing contemporary Pennsylvania and to relentlessly pursue correct solutions. But more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem. And as you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, we focus on three groups of people: you, them, and me. Today's episode will be focusing on only two of them, specifically you and me. The You segment is all about you, your questions, your opinions, your solutions, your whatevers. And rather than a call-in format, we utilize an email-in format. So if you have something to say, you can always drop us a line at pennsylvaniaproject.com. Today for the You part, we have our latest regular feature, which is unscripted cohorts, where I get hit cold with a question from our cohort. We also have a response to the latest school shooting. After that comes the Me portion of the Pennsylvania Project, where it will be my turn, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. I'll be focusing on some particular issue that really sticks in my craw. Today, it's graffiti. And this time, I think we're really going to do it. We'll see. And throughout the show, as is our long-established custom, we'll be featuring a Pennsylvania Toastmaster to read and help respond to whatever comes into our mailbag. It's a role that we always call cohort. And today's cohort is making her 18th appearance on the Pennsylvania Project.
Ooh.
I'm 18 and I can do what I want. She's none other than Margaret Sassouni, the past president of the ETS Toastmasters in bucolic Princeton, New Jersey. Welcome back to the Pennsylvania Project, Margaret.
Thank you for that enthusiastic.
Oh, it's always good to have you back. You're not in Florida?
No, I was in Florida and now I'm back.
Oh, I can't tell where you're at.
Yes, ping-ponging.
Yes, that's good.
So yeah, everything's good. Yeah.
You still going to Toastmasters?
No, I haven't gone.
What happened, girl?
I don't know.
A past president like you?
I feel like I'm stuck at home working remotely, and I like it that way.
Huh.
I circle around my garden, and that's my domain.
It's a good thing you don't work for Elon Musk. He just ordered everybody.
That's right.
Back
I saw
into the
that.
Office, and the Germans are all annoyed with him.
Yeah.
Too bad.
I wonder if
that.
Other companies are going to follow suit.
Mm. But no. No Toastmaster meetings. That means no word of the day. And I ran across a good one.
Oh.
Blodger. Did you ever hear of a blodger? Bludger. A bludger.
A bludger?
Bludger.
It sounds like somebody can hurt somebody with that.
No.
It's
well,
a weapon.
That's
Is it a weapon?
Bludgeon. No. No.
It sounds like, yeah, bludgeon. Bludgeon someone.
It's an Aussie word.
Oh.
You know, I heard it and I didn't know what it meant. I looked it up. Wiktionary says, it's a person who avoids working or doing their share of work, a loafer, a hanger-on, one who does not pull their weight.
Ooh.
And Cambridge over in England says it's someone who relies on the efforts of other people and wants to have things working without them,
oh.
without working for them.
Hmm.
Sound like a bunch of liberals.
Sounds like we should have the equivalent word in here in America.
That's right.
I
guess not so much liberals.
A flaker? Flaky person? No. I don't mean that. Lazy person?
Well, I consider laziness a virtue.
Yeah.
Because all human progress was from some lazy person saying, I can do this better than that with less work.
Yeah, you got a point.
I guess. I don't know. Anyway, let's get rolling on this. You brought a question?
I did bring a question.
Or were you a bludger?
Do you want a personal question or is something related
yes.
in the news?
Yes.
Yes, personal?
No.
I know.
One
okay,
we'll
ask you both. Maybe we'll have time for both.
It's like it's a joke about the statistician, his wife, they're having a baby, they're in the delivery room.
Yeah.
And she had a curtain there. She couldn't see what was going on. She asked him, is it a boy or a girl? And he says, yes. Anyway, so you asked two questions. The answer was yes.
Let's see. Okay, so I know you're a busy guy. And I also know that you went to the 25th anniversary ETS Toastmasters party.
Yeah.
I saw a photo with you in it, so I know you were there.
Yeah.
Why did you go?
Why did I go?
Yeah, I know you're a busy guy. No, not really. Why did you go? But tell me the highlights. How was it? How was it going back in the building? I know you're tired.
That's actually on my list of things to talk about.
Oh, okay.
At some point. I don't know where it is. So what was your other question?
My other question was, you have a lot of women in your life.
That's a wife and three daughters.
Roberta and your three girls.
And a granddaughter, two granddaughters.
That's okay. So have you ever taken them to a gun range and taught them how to use a weapon?
No, I have not.
Okay.
I'm not so much of a gun range person. I like to go out in the woods. I guess probably the best. That's true. The last time I went out to Front Sight in Nevada once, out in Pahrump, which is one of the premier gun ranges in the country. And I went out with the AR and shot up stuff, and I was hitting targets from 400 yards away. I'm reliable at 100 yards. I'm excellent at 50 yards.
Mm-hmm.
But 400 yards, I would say touch and go, but that doesn't sound like the right word to do.
Hmm.
No, we go camping, and we're out on the Appalachian
Trail.
You're
avid campers, yeah.
Yeah, and it was funny once because my youngest daughter brought hers with her to go practice in the woods, and one of our friends, who does not like firearms at all, and her husband's really militant about it. I don't know how you can be a militant anti-firearm. An oxymoron. Anyway, she actually stole her gun and hid it out in the woods.
Oh.
So, no, we don't go to ranges specifically. Maybe, call me paranoid, but I try not to do things that may be considered offbeat. I don't do them in public.
Okay.
I tend to do them in the woods. But no, short answer is yes, I've taken them out shooting.
Yeah,
but I have not taken them out on the range.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, but they've shot. What do they shoot?
One thing, I've run for governor three times now.
Right.
And I've run for other offices and people, and I'm in favor of the right to keep and bear arms. In fact, our Constitution, which I signed, says, shall not be questioned. So when people ask me about my personal defense, I never answer. It's the only question I will not answer just because of the safety of my family. So I won't talk about what kind of firearms we have, whether they're reloads or regulars or the green, cheap Russian stuff. So there you go. The answer is none of your business.
All right. I won't ask you that again.
All right. That's how you keep asking me. I just got to make sure I'm on my toes. I guess I should not have even mentioned that we do our shooting out in the woods.
Well, that's okay. I mean, you can do it in the woods. Nobody's around except you guys and the animals.
That's true.
What do you do to protect yourself from a bear? A black bear?
I've never, in all the years, I go out camping all the time.
Right.
Average once a month, sometimes a little more frequently. Mm-hmm. I've been camping in a week. We're not going camping until tomorrow night.
Oh.
So in all that time, I've seen two bears.
Two bears.
I've seen three copperheads. I've never seen a rattler. They've been here in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And I've been asked this question before. You know what the worst out in the woods is? The worst creature in the woods? And don't say people. Besides people.
A mosquito.
No. Mice.
Mice.
Mice, because they're year-round, and they nibble into stuff, and they carry deadly diseases with them.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're awful.
You hit a nerve there, because I think I have a mouse in the house.
Get the trap. Give him a gun. Where's the gun?
Yeah, I've set traps everywhere, but they won't die in it.
Well, I guess you got to try something
I don't know.
A little more creative.
Like putting a lens camera through the vents.
Because
they're in
the
ducts. They're in the ducts. You can hear them scratching.
You almost got me to say ducks. Try my best not to do that.
Yeah, so I'm battling critters, but I don't know what they are.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe they're bigger than that. Maybe they're squirrels. We had squirrels in our chimney.
Could be squirrels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're gone now. I have too many fires. It was a summertime thing. We don't do fires in the house in the summer.
Oh, so if you put out, if you put on a fire in the backyard, the smell would run them out?
No, the squirrels were in our chimney.
Oh.
And that kind of bad place for.
Because somebody suggested smoke them out. But then your house is going to smell like fire.
Yeah. That's okay.
That's okay.
I think one of the nicest smells is wood smoke in a woman's hair.
Really?
So, yeah, absolutely.
It's romantic.
I know. Happens all the time, which is nice. My wife and I met on a camping trip.
Yes. I think I've heard it on episode 163.
You're as good at this as I am. All right, let's get on to Bernie. Bernie's back.
Oh, yes.
He's been gone for a long time.
Has he really?
Yeah, let's get on to Bernie.
Bernie's got a question. Bernie's from Elwood City, Pennsylvania.
Still.
He says, I'm concerned about the mass shootings, which are now so common, they're in the news all the time, and people on social media rarely comment on them anymore. We didn't grow up with this, and yet the libertarians remain opposed to even the weakest red flag laws. Civilians are not responsible enough to carry assault rifles. That's really all there is to it.
Bernie, Bernie, Bernie. How many times have we climbed these stairs, Bernie? I went back and I looked. We talked about this in episode 4, 24, 26, 80, 109, and 141. It looks like I'm going to have to climb those stairs again.
It's okay.
That's all right. It could be people weren't listening. 141 was what? 6 months ago almost.
Yeah.
All right, let's start your assertion that we didn't grow up with this. Beg your pardon. Yes, we did. Don't you remember the Texas clock tower shootings in 1966? Or Columbine a generation later? Or all the shootings before or since? What about JFK blown away, as Billy Joel might put it? And, you know, granted that none of these should have happened, definitely. So the question becomes, what do we do to make things better, right? And we are all about solutions here at the Pennsylvania Project. And as I mentioned, we already covered the solutions seven? Anyway, here's number 7 or number 8, whatever it is. To sum it up in one phrase, an armed society is a safer society. And here's why. Good old John Lott, a researcher at the University of Chicago, did a nationwide county-level study. And he found that if a woman resists an attacker, she's twice as likely to be seriously injured. But if she resists with a handgun, she is half as likely to be seriously injured. And from that, I've concluded on national television that handguns are a girl's best friend. And Professor Lott also showed that he cites the cities with the strongest gun control had the highest rate of gun crimes. Or as I like to say, and I've said it on national television, gun control kills. And it's not just Professor Lott and his study that proved that. The National Center for Disease Control, the CDC itself, confirmed it. It was about a decade ago, good old President Obama commissioned the CDC to investigate gun violence and its solutions. Well, his anti-gun plan backfired, pardon the pun. The CDC found no evidence that gun restrictions reduced gun violence. They found no evidence that passage of right-to-carry laws decreased or increased violent crime. But they did find that gun turn-in programs are ineffective. And they also found that guns are used much more often defensively than offensively. And that if you want to defend yourself, the best choice is a gun. In other words, Bernie, they found out it's gunning for a solution. Pardon the pun. No, don't pardon it. And we came up with a corollary issue to that on another gun issue in another episode. What do we do with idiots who are idiots with their gun? Easy. We've all heard of carry permits. Well, tell you what, upon conviction by a court of law, being an idiot with a gun, you give that idiot a can't carry permit. That means if you catch him carrying a gun when he has a can't carry permit, you toss his sorry butt in jail. How's that? Pretty simple. And Bernie, there's one big stopper to your assertion that civilians are not responsible enough to carry assault rifles. It's against the law to stop them. Good old Article 1, Section 21 of my dear Pennsylvania Constitution at my elbow says the right to bear arms in defense of yourself and the state shall not be questioned. So, Bernie, you're making an illegal suggestion. I mean, there's a lot more I could say. Let me just jump in here. Do you want to jump in with anything there, Margaret?
I mean, I think Bernie's trying to search for an answer of why these keep happening over and over again.
Well, people are crazy.
Yeah, people are crazy.
People are stupid things.
Yeah, mental illness, right?
Right.
Yeah.
What do you do with crazy people? Right, you can't stop them in advance.
No, you never know who's going to go crazy.
I know.
if you've never been crazy and turned crazy.
That's right.
Nobody can predict that.
He's asking the impossible. But, you know, it was funny because Bernie sent in that question just recently. And last week, I was away for the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Last week in Charleston, Virginia, there was an armed Virginia woman who fatally shot a gunman who opened fire on a bunch of partygoers. The guy had driven by, and he was making noise, and they said, keep it down. He went and got a gun, he came back, and he started shooting up the party. Right?
I read that. I was blown away.
pun. Too many puns today. Well, let me quote the Charleston Chief of Detectives, Tony Hazlitt. He said, quote, a law-abiding citizen stopped the threat of probably 20 or 30 people getting killed. She engaged the threat and stopped it. She didn't run from the threat. She engaged it, preventing a mass casualty event here in Charleston. Unquote. What are you going to do, Bernie? Are you going to take away the gun from her? There's Luby's Cafeteria from, what, 10, 20 years ago? Same story, one after the other. There's a teacher in Edinburgh who stopped a school shooting by running out to his car, holding the killers at bay until the cops showed up. Bernie, you're not going to stop people from being crazy. You know?
Yeah.
The bottom line here is that if you want to save lives, an armed society is a safer society. Handguns are a girl's best friend. Mm-hmm. And it's gunning for a solution. Mm-hmm. And Bernie, let me close on the same line you did. That's really all there is to it. On that targeted note, that'll have to do it for the U portion of episode 166 of the Pennsylvania Project. We're going to pause for this information, and when we return, I'm going to be ranting about nobody's favorite, graffiti.
Here's an interesting question. Everyone's heard of the United States Constitution, but have you ever heard of the Pennsylvania Constitution? Have you ever read it? But most importantly, was it ever taught to you in school? If you're like virtually all Pennsylvanians, the answer are likely to be no, no, and no. Well, it's long past time we changed those answers to yes, yes, yes. We here at the Pennsylvania Project are all about solutions. So we've authored a petition demanding that the Pennsylvania Constitution be taught to our children. If you believe it's important for our children to know how our state government works, head over to our website, PennsylvaniaProject.com, and add your name to the growing list of signers. The alternative is yet another generation that has never heard of or let alone read the Pennsylvania Constitution. And people wonder why no one votes anymore.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, cast of the Pennsylvania Project. You know, it's easy to find a high-paying job. At least for some people it is. Employers are begging for competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. But do those words describe you? Competent leader? Communicates effectively? If not, or even if they do, you may want to consider joining Toastmasters. The mission of Toastmasters is to provide a supportive experience for learning communication and leadership skills. But does it really work? Hey, look at me. I joined Toastmasters, and now I have my own radio show. Yeah. So turn your life around like I have. Visit Toastmasters.org and contact a club near you. Visitors are always welcome, and be sure to mention that you heard it on the Pennsylvania Project radio show. The future is anxiously awaiting competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. You can be that leader. It all starts at Toastmasters.org.
The following is a commercial announcement.
Hey, Margaret, how's it going?
Meh, could be better.
Why? What's the matter?
I found a great job, but I can't take it.
Why not?
They want me to go in as a 1099 contractor.
So?
So, what about all the taxes? Federal taxes, state taxes, this tax, that tax. I've better things to do than figuring out tax laws and filing out all those forms. I'm a libertarian, remember?
Then what you need is Amendment 16.
Hey, it's the damn 16th Amendment that got me into this predicament in the first place.
No. Amendment 16, the invoicing service. They'll invoice your client for the hours and expenses you report to them, and when your client pays them, they pay you, minus all required state and federal taxes. It's that easy.
And they take care of all the taxes and all the forms?
Yep. And they, one call does it all. And they can pass along certain tax breaks, too.
Sounds perfect. Where do I find them?
I don't know. No, on the web, of course, at amendment16.com, but that's with 16 spelled out. Amendment, S-I-X-T-E-E-N.com. One call does it all. Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to the me portion of episode 166 of the Pennsylvania Project, where I get to rant a bit about something that really sticks in my craw, and we're really going to do it now. It was originally from 55. Put away your can of spray paint, because today it's graffiti. Yep, graffiti, that ubiquitous artwork adorning walls everywhere. And I use that term artwork very liberally. You know, I'm old enough to remember a time when there was virtually no graffiti in Philly. And oddly enough, Wikipedia agrees with me. And no, I didn't make it say that. As I mentioned briefly a few episodes ago, the first Philly graffiti vandals I remember were Cornbread and Cool Earl from the late 60s. Although sources put Cornbread 2 years earlier than Cool Earl, you couldn't prove it by me. Matter of fact, Cool Earl and Cornbread were the only tags you ever saw around Philadelphia, anywhere around Philly, and everywhere around Philly. And you know, in doing research for this rant, and much to my surprise, I found that graffiti preceded the invention of spray paint by a far, far margin. According to Wikipedia, the genre is literally thousands of years old. It dates back to ancient Greece, Rome, even lava-covered Pompeii had its graffiti. The popular graffiti at the time included poems, advertising, political slogans, love letters, and more. I guess you can call it the earliest known example of social media. I don't know. Although Wikipedia doesn't quite go that far. Nor did I intend to go that far in today's rant in my research, but hey, you live and learn. In any case, when I did decide to rant about graffiti, I was only looking at it from my own parochial view, specifically from my hometown of Abington. I focused on that because the very first political solution I ever fought for was a solution to graffiti. Step back in time with me to about 30 years ago when Roberta and I had recently moved into Abington, so I thought I'd pay our government a visit to see what I could learn about our local yokels. Our township commissioners meet once a month, so I figured I'd go see what's what. Well, it pretty much matched my idea of what local government should look like. They put up new stop signs, they swore in some police officers, they put in a new sewer plant, all those things local government is typically responsible for. But at one point, they went a little bit off script. Somebody made a motion to advertise a public hearing about a new graffiti ordinance they wanted to pass. Well, I read through that draft, and I could not believe it. Now, as you regular listeners of the Pennsylvania Project know, we're all about solutions here, and more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem. Well, the graffiti ordinance was neither a correct solution, nor did it identify the correct problem. What was their solution? Check this out. If you had graffiti on your property, the township would come onto your property without your permission, clean up the graffiti, bill you for the cleanup, fine you $300, and send you to 16 hours of community service. Seriously, man. My first reaction was to rename the ordinance. Rather than calling it an anti-graffiti bill, I called it the Persecute the Victim Act. And I made plans to attend the public hearing they planned for their nasty ordinance and not just attend, but also to speak out against that ordinance. Let's take another quick step back because you got to realize the time period when this happened. This was about a decade before I joined Toastmasters. And here I was, this greenhorn kid, and I was going to speak out in public? I was terrified. But I had this cool title for their ordinance, and I wanted to use it. But more importantly, I had a solution that didn't require them to violate the sanctity of property rights. Not that we had graffiti on our house, but when it comes to government, you never know how they might twist things. So I went to their meeting. When my turn to speak came, I started off with my cool-sounding title of their ordinance, the Persecute the Victim Act, and I detailed all the ways it persecuted the victim. And my solution, a novel idea, persecute the criminal instead. How's that? Specifically, the plan was, if you were caught vandalizing someone else's property, not only would you have to clean it up, you would become the township's official graffiti removal person. Part of your court sentence would be that every Saturday, you would have to remove graffiti anywhere and everywhere in the township. And you would retain that position until someone else was caught vandalizing someone else's property. And then they would take your place. Now, see all the numerous benefits that come from this approach? Number one is that graffiti gets cleaned up, and not at your personal expense, but rather at the vandal's expense. Number two is that the incentive is very strong for the vandal to rat out on their vandal buddies, just so they can retire from the role as the township's official graffiti remover. But from my libertarian point of view, the best of all, the government respects your property rights and does not persecute you for the actions of another. Well, there I was at their meeting with my knees a knocking, my hands a shaking, my voice breathless in the middle of an asthma attack because I was terrified. But there was one thing I did not know. There had been some behind-the-scenes dissension on the board about the ordinance. And my presenting an alternative, my defense of the innocent, it brought that dissent out into the open. All of a sudden, the commissioners were up there arguing and bickering among themselves. And at one point, one of the commissioners, pro-ordinance commissioners, he whirled on me with a pointer finger and declared, "Are you saying that it would be okay if you painted your house orange with purple stripes?" Well, the urge was great to jump in on the debate with him on his terms, but instead I refrained. Not out of any politeness, mind you, or lack of a rejoinder. It's more that I was just plain terrified. Man, oh man. And another commissioner yelled at me, "If you don't like the law, you can take it to court." Yeah, right. We regular citizens have lost our access to the judicial system many, many eons ago. Attorneys control it today, of course, lock, stock, and gun barrel, but I digress. In the end, and much to my surprise, they agreed with me. They decided to change one word in the ordinance. In the phrase required to, the word required was changed to requested to. The ordinance was defanged and left totally unenforceable. Cool. The story wound up in the papers the next day, back in the days when there still were newspapers. And they even quoted me. And I probably still have the clippings around somewhere. I don't know where. What a story. Abington graffiti, I call it. And it was my very first political victory. Certainly not my last. But it was a success that triggered off a political career for me that still hasn't stopped decades later. Maybe I should spray paint that date on the side of my house and do it in purple stripes or something like that. Just do it. Do it for posterity. On that artistic note, that's going to wrap it up for episode 66 of the Pennsylvania Project. What do you think about graffiti or gun safety or teaching the Pennsylvania Constitution to our kids or anything somewhat Pennsylvania related? If you have something to say, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at PennsylvaniaProject.com right after you sign our education petition there, that is. And you can hear us there too, as well as on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and a plethora of other popular podcast providers. Today's episode is courtesy of Amendment 16 Limited, our longest-running advertiser, and it's produced live in the studios of WWDB Radio, broadcasting in Philadelphia at 860 on the AM dial every Monday at 4 p.m., among other times, and also appearing on WPEN 98.5 in Burlington, police state of New Jersey. Each episode is also released as a podcast every Monday at PennsylvaniaProject.com at 5 p.m. Our webmaster, Stephen Worley. Our featured Toastmaster cohort is Margaret Sassouni. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Our official bartender is still Tom Kehoe. Keyboard wizard there singing and playing in the background is Joe the Pag. Radio producer is Wes Wagner. Executive radio producer is Brett Kronberger. He's still there. Yeah, he's still here. And no, Mark Bazzacco is our executive producer. He has moved up to Jim Thorpe. So he's out of the picture for a while. So that just leaves me, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. Thanks for joining us. And remember, more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem without having to resort to saving your inalienable right to keep and bear arms against our liberal friends like Bernie.